Genesis 8, 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. We don't like to admit it, that our heart, the imagination of our heart, is evil from our youth. You know, okay, once in a while my imagination gets off course, and obviously there are evil people out there, but that the very root and source of my being is evil? That's not something we really want to admit. But is there a clearer demonstration of it? God's Word says so. And he's not just talking about the evil people out there. The only people alive at the time he was directly addressing were Noah and his family. Believers, whom the Holy Spirit had given a new man. And yet the Lord still declares of their hearts, our hearts, all man's hearts by nature, we are evil from our youth. Man often contends, well, if the Lord would show himself to me, you know, if he'd prove his power and glory, then I'd be willing to change more, then I'd really believe. But look at what God had just done. He told them in advance, I am going to bring a global flood in judgment on your sin. Repent. Man laughed at him. Well, God brought it. And the water rose higher than the highest mountains. And the tidal waves and the tsunamis ripped across the face of the earth, scouring every surface of the world. And every living, moving thing on the earth died, except Noah and his family, whom the Lord saved. Could there be a clearer demonstration of his power, glory, and of his salvation? And yet the Lord looks down from heaven in our text and he sees that it has not changed man's heart. It has not changed his imagination one little bit. It remains evil from our youth. Need any further evidence? Listen to the words recorded a couple chapters later. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Think about it. Only a couple hundred years had passed since the flood. Some of the scars had to be visible. Some of the people that lived through that flood were still walking on this earth. And yet, most of the people had forgotten the true God. Forgotten that he will not be mocked. And forgotten the glory of the salvation that he wants for every one of us. As man's faith in the true God decreased, his pride increased. So yeah, we're told about how his technology had improved. He'd figured out that if instead of just putting clay bricks out in the sun to dry, if he fired them in a kiln, they'd be stronger. He'd figured out that they could refine tar and hold things together better. They'd solved other construction problems. And so they planned this magnificent tower to celebrate man's achievements. Notice, This plan originates in defiance of God's will, that they were to spread out over the face of the earth. It originates in reliance on man to lift himself up by his bootstraps and make a heaven on this earth. That's emphasized in these words from Genesis 11 with a threefold reference to come, let us. Verse 3, come, let us make bricks. Rather than be dependent on God's promise to build them a future, they were insisting on relying on themselves to build their own future. And they assert their self-determination again. Verse 4, come, let us make a name for ourselves. Rather than be dependent on God's gracious offer to give them his own name, holy children of God, they asserted their independence and their insistence on relying on their own name. Rather than giving the glory of God to God, they cried a third time, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Now, they probably did not really think that their skyscraper would physically rise above the atmosphere, but rather that it could rise in the heavens in the sense that they could impress God with their works. They could manipulate him with their efforts. They could even buy him with their sacrifices. Such temples continued to be built long after Babel fell, and they were considered stairways to the gods by which man could attack the gates of the gods and get the gods to see things their way. Come, let us build a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Notice how they were also starting thereby a great PR campaign. Political leaders have been taking their cues from them ever since. Identify a popular, positive plan. Let us make a name for ourselves. Misrepresent the other side, even if it is God, to create fanatical fear, lest we be scattered, and promise everyone a heaven on this earth. I'll give you a new video game console. I'll give you a new computer, a new iPad. How about all the pop and pizza you ever want? You can make your own rules. How often have you and I been led by those imaginations to be more concerned about my prosperity, my possessions, my popularity, my power, than about the Lord and His will? How often are we more concerned about having a heaven on this earth than about following our God? Yes. Our nature is evil from our youth. So why then did God promise that He was not going to destroy this world with a global flood again if we are that evil? Because He looked at the results of the flood. He knew our heart, and He knows that such devastation did not and never will change our nature nor save us. So if He was going to save us, He had to build that stairway to heaven for us Himself. And He sent His Son to do just that. He built every brick with His own holy, precious blood. Bricks that none of us can build. Bricks that make that stairway secure. He sent His Son to live in absolute purity and perfection, not only in action, but in every imagination, that His righteousness could make you His holy children. Jesus has built that stairway to heaven so secure that no judgment can touch it, turning from our evil nature in daily repentance. That stairway to heaven is yours. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 369, stanzas 1 and 4.